Good morning to everyone live streaming and to those who will be watching later. I was really looking forward to finally having the opportunity to preach in person, but I guess that will have to wait for another time. This Mother's Day, before I get started with my sermon, I want to take advantage of the opportunity that I have to speak to wish a happy Mother's Day to two important mothers in my life. To my own mother, Sandy Yoder, who will no doubt be watching this later this afternoon because I'm her son and she likes to watch me preach, I just want to say happy Mother's Day. I appreciate the way that you have always supported me and encouraged me regardless of where life has taken me. And also to my soon-to-be mother-in-law, Connie Friesen, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for the way that you have warmly welcomed me into your family as I have adjusted to life here in Manitoba. This morning, we are going to wrap up our series on hearing voices. In previous weeks, we learned about the voices in our world that compete for our attention. We have the prevalent voices of discouragement and division. We also learned about how we hear God's voice through building familiarity. Just as a parent learns to hear their child's voice over time, so we learn to hear God's voice over time. Last week, Carl talked about the different places that God's voice comes from. We hear God's voice in Scripture, in prayer, from other people, and a number of other places. This morning, in the final part of our series, we will be looking at how we, in turn, speak with the voice of God. I approach this topic this morning with a significant amount of both excitement and nervousness. When Pastor Carl asked me to preach on speaking with the voice of God about a month ago, my mind instantly went to a number of negative ways that I have witnessed people use the voice of God. Perhaps you too, watching at home, have seen God's voice used in ways that don't reflect the God that we know. Quite frankly, Christians through the generations and today have frequently screwed up this practice in epic ways. Surely all of us have seen images of Christians using the voice of God to condemn certain groups of people. We turn on the evening news when we get home and we see video reels of Christians marching in lines, yelling chants, and holding up signs that say, "God hates insert various groups." We come away from seeing such things embarrassed by such a poor representation of God while being painfully aware of the hurt that has been caused to those who have just been told that God hates them. Is that how the voice of God should be used? To condemn and attack others? Maybe we've seen the voice of God used to justify political agendas. Many of us probably remember the bleak and frightening events of January 6th this year as political protesters stormed the U.S. Capitol building. As an American, I remember that day very, very vividly. In the midst of these troubling events, the image burned in many minds is that of a protester holding up a cross and a sign proclaiming, "Jesus saves." Is that how the voice of God should be used? To advance our pet political and ideological views? Or on a more comical level, perhaps in youth or young adult settings, we have witnessed someone ask another person out on a date because God told them that they were supposed to date or get married. We come away from that embarrassed by the clear desperation at hand and wondering why God's words are being given to the person who is being served by them. Even though speaking with the voice of God has been misused time and time again and will be misused over and over again in the future, I'm not convinced that we should just throw our hands up and remove ourselves from this practice. In fact, to the contrary, I think that speaking with the voice of God has so much potential in our age of confusion and division. But the challenge for us this morning is to learn how to faithfully speak with the voice of God. This morning, as we as a church learn together how to speak with the voice of God, I've chosen to center the sermon around a particular story from the life of Paul. which Laurel just read a few minutes ago. For me personally, I find that stories are helpful in making ideas more applicable and more understandable. My hope this morning, as we take a look at Paul's bold and relevant proclamation of the gospel in Athens, is that we too can learn how to speak with the voice of God as witnesses. That we can learn how to speak as people having both confidence and humility because we have spent time with God. We have learned how to love Him and have discovered a passion for testifying to the God who is working in our world, the God who is working to redeem all of creation. So, this morning, let's turn our attention a little bit to Paul. In Acts chapter 17, we find Paul waiting in the city of Athens. At face value, we might assume that Paul is simply spending some time in Athens before continuing on his missionary journey. Maybe Athens is a nice place, Paul's taking some time away for refreshment. However, this is not the case. Paul is waiting in Athens because his passion for preaching about Jesus' death and resurrection got him into so much trouble in another city that the believers shipped him off to Athens for his own safety. They thought that he was going to get killed for preaching about Jesus. Paul is waiting in Athens indefinitely while the other believers can regroup and figure out what to do with him. So even though Paul is supposed to be bunkering down for a while and keeping a low profile, he can't help himself. And he begins to wander around the city. In the process, Paul soon discovers that Athens is full of idols, which would make sense given that the ancient Greeks worshipped a number of gods. In ancient Greek mythology, they had Poseidon, who was the god of the sea. They had Ares, the god of war. In my research, I discovered they even had a guy named Morpheus, who controlled people's dreams. That explains why I dream so much weird stuff, because of Morpheus. For Paul, a firm believer in Yahweh, the one and true God, the presence of so many idols quickly became a source of worry and distress. Acts chapter 17 tells us that Paul's spirit became provoked. So Paul begins to do what Paul always does, and he talks with the people around him. He talks with people in the street. He talks with the Jews and Gentile converts in the synagogues. He even talks with groups of philosophers, such as the Stoics and the Epicureans. His constant talk about Jesus eventually gets the attention of Athens' powerful leaders, and he is taken to explain himself at the Areopagus, which was basically like the Supreme Court of Athens. For Paul, this is both an incredibly exciting and terrifying opportunity. The stakes are high. And so Paul begins his explanation by establishing common ground with the people. He compliments their religious fervor, as evidenced by all the statues throughout the city. He acknowledges particularities of their culture by citing the statue to the unknown God. And then he speaks with the voice of God. He delivers a message of truth which connects with the needs of so many people there. He tells them that the unknown God has a name, that this unknown God is the God who is above all others, that this God made the world and everything in it and draws all humanity towards himself. This God is the unknown God who they have an altar for. Some of the people that Paul shares this with reject him. They scoff at him, they sneer, and they walk away. But his words strike a chord with others, and they come to know Jesus through Paul speaking with the voice of God. This morning, I think that we too can learn how to speak with the voice of God through Paul's interaction with the people of Athens. If we, as a church here at Fort Garry, are to be a people who speak with the voice of God, the first thing we must recognize is that we are God's ambassadors. Many times, when we hear someone speak a message from God that poorly reflects who we know God to be, the message may contain some truth, but ultimately it comes with a filter or a slant that aligns with the messenger's views. As a result, we hear messages from a lot of different gods. We might hear a word from NDP God or from Conservative God. We might hear a message from Urban God or Rural God. Perhaps someone brings us instructions from Baby Boomer God or Millennial God. Ultimately, though, for us, if we're going to speak as God's ambassadors, we need to remove our own pet ideas or agendas from the message. You see, ambassadors are representatives sent by a leader to speak on their behalf and accomplish their desires. For example, Canada has ambassadors in over 180 countries worldwide. These ambassadors are sent by the Prime Minister to represent Canada's interests in another country. Ambassadors in Russia, the United Kingdom, or Mexico serve the purpose of representing their country and proclaiming their leaders' messages. If they go off course and start pushing their own personal agendas, they are not doing their jobs as ambassadors. Likewise, God sends all of us who are part of the church to be ambassadors all around the world. Most of us watching this morning are God's ambassadors here in Winnipeg. Those of us who are in school are God's ambassadors to our classmates. For those of us who work jobs, we are God's ambassadors to our coworkers. We are God's ambassadors to our friends, our family, and our neighbors. But as God's ambassadors, as those speaking with the voice of God, what are we actually trying to communicate? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given the ministry of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is our message that we speak to people as God's ambassadors, that there is a God who loves the world. There is a God who loves the people in the world. This God seeks to reconcile and redeem the world through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit today. Paul grasped this idea as he spoke in Athens some 2,000 years ago. Paul's message was that of an ambassador doing the work of someone greater than him, speaking the words of the God who sent him. One of the pastors of the church I grew up at had this phrase that he would use over and over again when he would preach or teach. He would say, "We got to keep the main thing, the main thing." And so for us, as we're speaking with the voice of God, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. The thing that's the most important, the thing that's central to our faith and our mission is the thing we need to speak about as God's ambassadors. If we're going to witness to the world about what God has done and will do, we need to speak as representatives, as ambassadors. But speaking with the voice of God goes beyond simply the message that we represent. Speaking with the voice of God requires us to identify the needs of those who we are speaking to. Back over the winter, if you can go back with me about 3 or 4 months, we went through a sermon series as a church on the gospel of Jesus. In these sermons, we learned about a variety of ways that Jesus can be described. We learned about Jesus, the King, who offers meaning and purpose to a world that lacks both. We learned about Jesus, the healer, who redeems and restores. We learned about Jesus, the bread of life, who fills and sustains the empty. In each sermon, we asked ourselves the question, how is this good news for someone else? How is Jesus the King, the healer, the bread of life, good news for someone? Messages become powerful and relevant when they speak to the needs of the recipient. We see this from Paul in Acts 17. We read that the people of Athens spent their time talking about ideas and seeking truth. In fact, Acts says they spent all of their time just sitting around and talking about ideas. Paul meets a variety of people's Sorry, Paul meets a variety of people who are looking for truth in different ways. He has conversations with the Jews and the devout Gentiles in the synagogues. He talks with the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who are looking to identify the meaning of life. He even finds an altar to an unknown God. As a result, Paul's message from God to the people of Athens addresses an area of need and importance. They are looking for more information about God, and Paul is revealing it to them. But for us in Manitoba in 2021, how do we speak with relevance to others? How do we speak in a way that matters? We speak to people's needs by simply knowing people. When we're in relationship with others, we become aware of what they want or what they need. When I become a part of someone else's life, I earn the right to speak into their life, and I also discover what they really need. Oftentimes, speaking with the voice of God goes bad when it lacks relationship or relevance for the recipient. Condemning messages from God are often directed at people that the sender doesn't even know, and they contain no relevance for the recipient. However, when we know the person that we're speaking to, we also generally know what they need and how they will receive the message. If I am extremely hungry, I will generally not care about what you have to say because my focus is on getting food. However, if you approach me with food or a way to get food, I will be all ears. Likewise, if we can speak with God's voice in such a way that connects with the deep needs of the other person, we will be able to communicate God's message in powerful and profound ways. If we're to witness to the world about what God has done and continues to do, then our message also needs to be relevant. There is, however, one last piece that is essential for speaking with the voice of God. As Mennonites, we can sometimes neglect this last part, but it is of the utmost importance if we are to speak with the voice of God. I'm, of course, referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is extremely difficult for us to quantify or to explain. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about the Spirit and how the Spirit comes and goes like the wind. You see it and you feel, or you don't see it, but you can feel it and you can hear it. For us, we can talk about experiences with the Holy Spirit or what the Holy Spirit is like. And yet at the end of the day, the Spirit is wild and unpredictable. And yet the Holy Spirit is what empowers us and encourages us to speak with the voice of God. This past week, Pastor Carl passed a video on to me in which another pastor referred to the Holy Spirit's promptings as God's shoulder taps. God's shoulder taps nudge us to do something or say something that we might not normally do. We can't really explain what this feeling is. We just know it when the Spirit taps our shoulder and tells us to do something or to say something to someone. We see this in Paul's actions too. Acts 17 tells us that Paul's spirit was provoked by the sight of idols in Athens. Encountering the pagan environment led him to feel burdened for the people of Athens. The Holy Spirit burdened Paul and nudged him to testify about God before the Areopagus. Paul responded and acted accordingly out of faith and spoke with God's voice as a witness. But for us, how do we learn to hear the Spirit's voice? I think this goes back to Pastor Janessa's sermon 2 weeks ago, where we learned that God's voice becomes more recognizable as we spend more time with God. By spending time with God and responding to God's shoulder taps in faith, we can develop familiarity and learn how to speak with God's voice. When we do so, we begin to speak less with our voices and more with the voice of God. This allows us to faithfully follow God and to speak as witnesses. This allows us to speak with God's voice in a way that truthfully declares God's message of reconciliation with grace and integrity. Following the Holy Spirit and knowing God in deeper ways is how we learn to speak with the voice of God. As we close this morning, I want to share a story about the power of speaking with God's voice. about the reason why this is important for us to learn how to do. A friend of mine grew up as a nominal Catholic in Germany. By the time he finished school and was in his late teenage years, he began to realize that his life lacked purpose and meaning. One day, while he was walking down the street, my friend met a man who struck up a conversation with him. Very quickly, it became apparent that this man was part of a cult and wanted to recruit my friend to join it as well. As the man shared about his beliefs and the practices of his cult, a third man discreetly joined their conversation. This third man began to converse with the cult leader and spoke about a man named Jesus and how he could change and transform people's lives. As the two men debated about their beliefs, my friend found himself drawn to the man talking about Jesus. Never before had he heard someone speak with such profound conviction while also having grace and humility. As the conversation ended, the third man invited my friend to come participate in a Bible study that he held with others. My friend willingly accepted because he was so taken by the power of Jesus. In the following months, my friend began to learn more about God and was baptized. He proceeded to enter a program geared towards discipleship through missions and eventually ended up in the United States of America. For the past 25 years, my friend has faithfully pastored the same church where he is able to lovingly and gracefully communicate God's desire to redeem and reconcile the world through Jesus. My friend has become a powerful ambassador for God, all because someone spoke with God's voice to him and welcomed him into the life of faith. The stakes are high for us. Chances are that sometime tomorrow, next week, or next month, we will turn on the television and see images of yet another failed and harmful attempt to speak with God's voice. Despite this, let us not despair of representing God. Let us not despair of seeking the world's needs. Let us not despair of seeking to know God in deeper ways, for in due time, we will see a harvest. In a world where voices from politicians, celebrities, emotions, misguided religion, conspiracy theories, news cycles, and fear compete for our undivided attention, the world needs a church with its eyes and ears upon Jesus, seeking to speak his message of hope and reconciliation to the world. May we at Fort Garry, Mennonite Brethren, be that church. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are not a God who is unknown, but a God who is all around us, a God who speaks to us, a God who desires to know us and reconcile the world to yourself. We thank you that even though we are mere humans, that you invite us and desire us to participate in your mission to redeem the world. I pray for us at Fort Garry that you would give us opportunity to be your messengers, to be your ambassadors, that you would give us opportunities to meet people and to know their needs, that you would give us a deep and burning desire and passion to know you and to know your voice, so that we might be people who can speak with the voice of God, so that we might be people who are obedient to your shoulder taps, that we might be a people who can speak truth and grace in a world of division, hostility, and hurt. Amen.